Saturday, 28th of August. 6. Well, halfway there now. This time next week, I shall be waking up in my own bed again, I hope. It's morning, around 9 a.m, and I've just woken up. Had a great sleep. The other person is now in her room, but I can't tell if it's a boy or girl, black or white, or whatever. I think it's a white girl. Hang on, she just stirred. Definitely a white girl. James couldn't have been more wrong. She's still sleeping. James is now in the shower. I can hear him blowing his nose from down the hall. Luckily, I'm up on my little balcony, so if she wakes up, I don't have to interact with her. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? I'm just not good at talking to new people. Oh well. Later. The girl turned out to be Spanish or something, and didn't really say anything to us. He said it was like some product for like afro hair or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. But he was like, definitely, they're using this. But the first thing we did was climb up to Cathedral Dome. It was long, it was hard, it was spiral, but the view was pretty good. Very good, in fact. There were so many Asian tourists, with their big groups and massive cameras. We then had a wander around the market. James bought a leather belt for 15 euro. Then for some lunch. James had a tripe roll. I had a folded mushroom pizza. Tasty.
A calzone?
No, it wasn't a calzone. It was just like a mushroom folded over.
But just folded over. Yeah. Okay.
We then went back to the hostel and found that the girl was gone, and we had the room to ourselves. Great. We next went to Santa Croce, another big church next to our hostel. We saw the tomb of Napoleon's sister. She was there because back in the day, Napoleon captured Florence and gave it to her for her to control. The church was quite nice, but was just completely over-Jesused. All the paintings really do look the same. We agreed this will be our last church until we get to Rome. In all the churches we've been to in Florence, all the girls and some women who wear strappy tops showing their shoulders have to wear these sheet things to cover up out of respect. I find this really strange for two main reasons. Number one, God originally created us naked, or so Christians believe. It was only when Eve ate the fruit and committed original sin and became shameful of her nakedness that God got pissed off, banished them from Eden, forced painful childbirth on all womankind, and sentenced man to lifelong hard labour. Why would Christians, Catholics in particular, choose to further piss him off by ordering women to cover up when God originally wanted everyone to be naked?
Valid point.
This leads to my next point, number two. It only appeared to be girls who had reached puberty who had to cover up. There were loads of 8, 9, 10-year-olds running around in strappy tops and short skirts. This suggests to me that the church thinks that nudity in the child is innocent, which of course, in most cases, it is, and there's nothing sexualized about it. But then if that was so, then the church would think that the woman of, say, 21, wearing a short skirt, strappy top, isn't innocent and is highly sexualized. But in most cases, the woman isn't wearing such clothes to be seductive, it's because she's blooming hot, and therefore quite innocent. If she feels okay bearing her shoulders and other people don't mind, surely it's the people who find it inappropriate that are inappropriate by banning the women. By banning women from showing a bit of flesh, the church is admitting to everyone that it's a bit pervy. Oh no, we can't handle bare shoulders. It turns us on too much and gives us unclean thoughts. How stupid. Number three.
Oh, well, there's more. I thought there were 2 points.
Number three. There's another point I just thought of.
Oh, there you go.
A lot of churches have paintings and sculptures of women with their breasts hanging out all over the show. I guess they'll argue that it's art. It's different. But isn't everyone's body a work of art in their own way? Even Johnny's.
You're even Johnny.
Anyway, rant over. The church was quite nice. We headed off to Pitti Palace. Not a church. On the other side of the river. On the way, we passed some little street stalls trying to sell wallets and belts and things. One guy, when he saw me, his face lit up and he said, "Crack pipe."
What?
I haven't shaved for a few days now, so is that how that makes me look? In another shop, we found a St. Sebastian pincushion. Man, I love that guy. I was going to buy it, but it was €25. I was only prepared to pay €10. Never mind. The palace was nice. We only went into the gardens, which were pretty expansive. We quickly popped back to the hostel to grab the wine and cheese and headed off to the Michelangelo Square to watch the sunset. When we got there, we realised we'd forgotten the cups, so we'd have to pour wine into our water bottles. But when James was opening the wine, the head of the corkscrew broke off, so we couldn't get grip. €8 that thing cost, and it lasted us for 6 days. I tried to pull the cork out and thought some of it was coming out, but the cork just broke in half.
Oh no.
James eventually managed to get the rest out, and we sat there drinking wine from our plastic bottles, eating bread and cheese. The view was pretty special, maybe my favourite part of Florence. But I have to say, the Gorgonzola cheese that we were eating was maybe just a bit more special. Man, that was some fucking good cheese. I remember it.
I don't like Gorgonzola.
Oh, it's so good. Sort of slightly melted a little bit.
Oh, from the heat?
From the heat, yeah. Or just like being out. Yeah. Oh, so good.
When I went on...
Oozy.
When we went to... Where did we go? To Rotwechter. We bought like ham and cheese and stuff and left it in our tent all day for like 3 days. It was alright. But thinking back on it, it's like, what are we doing? Why would you buy those?
Yeah. Cheese, not so bad, but ham. Mm. On the way back to the hostel, we fancied another bottle of wine, but the supermarket was closed. We went into a little wine shop and was just in the middle of picking out a good wine when a man shouted at us and started pointing to the door. We were confused and he pointed at his watch and then to the door again, so we figured it was closing time. But we've only been another minute. He stupidly lost himself a sow. It was weird though, because it was only 9:50 PM and he was in the middle of serving two other people when he started shouting at us. Maybe more beardism perhaps. We found another shop, friendlier, got some wine and headed back to the hostel and had a nice long chat, then bed. Sunday 29th of August, day 7. Farewell, Florence. You haven't been all that bad. Like an aging woman who's had a bit of plastic surgery, you can still see some of the beauty that was there, but it's now been disgracefully tarnished.
What a lovely metaphor.
Yeah. On the train to Lucca now. Had a McDonald's breakfast at the station. Just a blueberry muffin and a hot chocolate. Hot chocolate was really, really good. Proper Italian stuff. Nice and thick. The muffin was standard.
I wouldn't have classed that as a McDonald's breakfast. Like, I get it, you got breakfast in McDonald's, but that's not McDonald's breakfast.
Egg McMuffin and hash brown.
Yeah, something like that.
Had to buy a train ticket for the first and sadly not the last time. Only €5.20 though. Only €5.20.
£5.20.
Not bad. Monday 30th of August, day 8. A short entry yesterday, as I was saving it for this 4-hour train journey to Rome. We're on the train now, just waiting for it to leave. Well, yesterday we arrived at Lucca and made our way to the hostel. It's quite a small town, surrounded by a big wall. It was very quiet, but I guess it was a Sunday. There were a fair amount of people cycling around. I thought, I'm going to be doing the same soon. Scary. So I hadn't really ridden a bike before. I think I've mentioned this before.
Yes.
We got a little lost on the way to our hostel, but I found it eventually. Our room was quite big. It was underground in a basement and reminded me of the Cavern Club in Liverpool. It had a lot of character, plus a TV and a PlayStation 2. There was only one game though, Yakuza 2, and no controllers. Oh well.
Good game though, good game.
I was going to play it, but I couldn't. There were another two beds in the hostel, but it didn't look like they had been checked in yet. We dumped our bags and looked for something to eat. We quickly came upon a little place selling cheap food. James ordered a pizza and I ordered my first bowl of spaghetti since being in Italy.
Yeah, it's all been pizzas, I've heard.
Yeah. We also asked for bread and water with our meal, as we hadn't done that yet. The bread came with olive oil and vinegar. The water was amazingly cold and refreshing. They even brought out a little part of Parmesan cheese, a first in Italy, surprisingly. It's funny the stuff that I deem diary worthy.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying it nonetheless.
We reflected that we had to come all the way from, we had to come away from all the tourism to a tiny little town just to get some Parmesan. The main course was really, really good. We both agreed that this had been the best meal we had had since being here. Oh, and James got a beer and I got a Coke Zero, and the whole meal only came to €18. Great value. I went to the toilet once again. They were playing Shakira, Waka Waka, and the toilet didn't have a seat. What is with that? I think, like, from what I remember, whilst we were in Italy, we only really heard like 3 songs all the time. There was like a Waka Waka. There was like some song, something to do with a monster. I can't remember. Some like hip hop song about a monster. I don't remember. And we heard a thingy quite a lot. From like the 60s, Jefferson Airship. Airplane. Someone to love.
Don't you want somebody to love?
Yeah, I just heard it everywhere for some reason.
That is really weird.
After lunch, we headed for the bike rental place. I was a bit scared, but quite excited as well. We got 2 bikes for 3 hours. James got a road bike and I got a mountain bike. I was very nervous at first. We only had to ride for a little bit through the city before we could go up onto the wall. So like the... Yeah, like so the city was like surrounded by like a wall, but the wall was a very wide wall and had like a park going on it.
Okay.
So imagine sort of like a castle with like a big moat, you know, like where like they would sort of stand on like sort of fire arrows and stuff, and there's like a little walkway. Well, that walkway was quite wide and was now a park. So it's like a donut-shaped park surrounding the city, high up.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very, very pretty. Very nice. There were little posts in front of the path leading up to the wall with cars parked in front of the posts. I tried to navigate through the cars and the posts. I really did try, but I couldn't do it. I almost crashed into a parked car and managed to brake, but I just managed to brake before, and I just walked through the posts, then got back on and up the hill to the wall. I have to say that once I was on the wall, I loved it. I was a bit unsteady and unsure at first, but the more time I was on the bike, the more confident I became. Yes, there were some very close calls. A little girl, a woman, even a dog almost got squished by my tyres. But I managed to avoid such a thing. James said I was going too fast and that I should enjoy a more leisurely pace. But I loved going really fast, feeling the wind on my scalp. I have no hair.
Like a little kid.
I also loved going downhill and not having to pedal. I got into a routine of going really, really fast for a little bit and then just gliding for a bit more, then going really, really fast and gliding and so on. After a while, I was confident enough to stand up whilst gliding, thus giving my bum a rest. Because I have to say, the saddle fucking killed my bum. Absolutely slaughtered it. I'm still feeling the effects now.
It does. The first time you ride a bike after a while, for the first few days.
So I tried to do stand-up gliding as much as possible. We went around the hill. Went around the wall 2 times. The wall is 4.2 kilometers, so that's 8.4 kilometers. Before stopping for an ice cream, there was a little guy just going around the wall with a little ice cream cart. His medium ice creams were €2, and that was for 4 scoops. You could have 4 different flavors. I picked strawberry, pear, melon, and peach. It was amazing. Best ice cream I've ever had. Each flavour tasted like it had been made with fresh fruit that morning. The pear ice cream had bits of pear skin in it. Delicious. I tried to ask the man if he had made the ice cream himself, to congratulate him on his world-class skills, but he couldn't understand, so I just gave up. We went twice more around the walls, another 8.4 kilometres, 16.8 in total. Then went for a ride through the city. I was very nervous here, as there were loads of people, sharp bends and cars. My first test was to go downhill. Was to go downhill that we came up, the one with the posts and the cars. I was going downhill this time at a little bit of a speed, but I glided through it like a pro. I knew then that I'd made it, and I was going to be fine going through the town, weaving in around the people other cyclists and going around corners, avoiding cars, circling around statues. I think I felt confident enough to start cycling in London, maybe even to uni. We did once more around the wall, another 4.2 kilometres, 21 in total. Including going around the city, we probably cycled around 25 kilometres. Not bad for someone who has ridden a bike three times in his life, twice ending in a crash. What with the whistling and the cycling, I feel like now I'm finally becoming a real boy. I just learned how to whistle like a couple of weeks before as well.
I think I remember that.
After returning the bikes, my arse really, really hurt. My hands too, for some reason. I think I was like gripping the handlebar too much. We went in search for a supermarket for some dinner. Apparently there was one north of the city, just outside the wall, but it was closed. There were signs for a co-op toward the south of the city, but to be honest, I think those signs were a fucking joke. We followed them for 2 hours, and they kept leading us in complete different directions, but never to the co-op. We eventually gave up and decided to get a meal in town. We found a little pizza place. James had his second pizza of the day, but said it wasn't as good as the first one. I got a veg pizza, and there was so much veg on top of it that I really struggled to finish it, even though the crust was the thickness of thin paper. We took a very, very slow walk back to the hostel. When we got there, we found that there were no other people to arrive, and we had the room to ourselves again. Woo! James fiddled around with the TV and managed to get it working. Save the Last Dance was on, in Italian, and we somehow fell into watching it. I'd never seen it before, but I managed to follow easily enough. It's not a taxing film. When it ended, Save the Last Dance 2 came straight on. James said that he's definitely not going to watch it and went to bed. I thought, I kind of want to watch it, but is it worth staying up so late for? James then said it was only 9:30, so I thought there's absolutely no reason not to watch it, so I did. It really felt like it was like 12:30 or something. Ooh, like that.
25 kilometres.
Yeah, exactly. You kept us
running total throughout the whole day.
This one was a lot harder to follow. There didn't even seem to be much of a plot. Not even a lot of dancing, just people getting angry with each other. But I couldn't figure out why. When it finished, I was hoping that Save the Last Dance 3 would come on, but it didn't. I don't think it even exists, so I went to bed.
It doesn't.
We got up this morning and headed for the train station to go straight to Pisa. We found the tower easy enough. It was alright. It was leaning, it was a tower, it was in Pisa. Does what it says on the tin. We spent about 5 minutes there, after taking the obligatory photos. Then went to look for some lunch. Nowhere was open, but we found a little place that did pizzas. We sat down and the waitress came over and said, yes. We said, can we have a menu? She said, a menu? We said, yes. She said, oh. Then she came back with the menu that had no pizza on it.
Did she forget that she was a restaurant?
I don't know. This place was very strange. They had lasagna, which James got. I wanted a spaghetti, but was unsure whether it had meat in it. I asked the waitress. She said, spaghetti? No, no meat. Vegetables. It's cold. I said, oh. Are there any pasta dishes without meat that are hot? She said, hot? Yes, these three. She pointed out 3 dishes, including a spaghetti. I said, rather attentively, okay, I'll have the spaghetti. Spaghetti? She said, okay. She went off. A couple of seconds later, another girl came over and said to me, do you want eggplant or fish? Slightly bewildered, I just answered, eggplant? When the dish eventually came, it was rigatoni, not spaghetti at all. I couldn't be bothered, I just ate it. It was the worst meal I've ever had since arriving in Italy. The rigatoni was somehow well undercooked in the tube, but was really overcooked and mushy on the outside. How did they do that? At least it was hot. But then, when the bill came, they went and gave us a cover charge and a service charge. Fucking cheeky bastards. We made our way back to the train station, which had a McDonald's in it. I got some fries and a Coke Zero to wash away the shit I just eaten, and James got a caramel sundae.
Such disappointment.
Pisa is a shithole. Fuck knows why it has its own airport, so people can get away as fast as possible. I imagine. Anyhow, on the train out of Rome, our final destination, and the longest stretch in a single place. Our final hostel tonight and tomorrow is a 10-bed dorm. I doubt very much whether it will be lucky to have it to ourselves again, but we'll see. A little later, still on the train. I can't tell if James is funking out to music that only he can hear, or if the train is just making his head rock back and forth. August 1st, 2010, day 9. Sitting up on a big marble building. It's a nice building from the outside, but on the inside, it's a war museum. Shane. Let me recap the rest of yesterday. We finally got into Rome at about 5:45 p.m. It took 4 hours, but it really didn't seem that long. Half the time, in fact. We found a hostel with a fair amount of ease. It's practically right next to the station. On first impressions, it seemed very much like the Trento one, very communal. We were waiting at a reception for ages, whilst the girl dealt with some Italian couple. There was a really loud American in a TV room, laughing at some dumb TV show. I really hope he wasn't in that room. We were sharing a room with 8 others, 3 couples and 2 random girls. We dumped our bags and headed for the supermarket. I'm really not keen on this hostel. At the supermarket, we bought a massive bottle of wine, €4, crisps, cheese, bread, chocolate, and of course, a corkscrew. We wanted to find somewhere quick to eat, as we were both starving, like to sit down and eat. We found the nice fountain, but it was in the middle of a roundabout. We thought, oh well, and sat at the side of the fountain to eat our cheese and wine. We must have looked like tramps. In fact, a tramp walked past us and said, very good, very good. We stayed there for quite a while and then walked down to this big, nicely lit building. We didn't know what it was, but it looked really nice from the outside. It's the building that I'm sitting on now, actually. We sat down on the steps and had another chat about aliens and things. We laid down to look at the stars, but a police officer came over and said that we can't lie down. He said that we can sit, but not lie down. We then decided to get a nighttime view of the Colosseum. Luckily, it was only around the corner. It's big. Colossus, in fact. And it looked really good at night. We walked around the outside and decided to come back the next day when it was open. We then tried to find a bar by a hostel, but they all looked shit. We just went back to the hostel to sleep. It was very, 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 very hot in our room and very, very dark. I kept waking up in the morning and had no idea what time it was due to the darkness. Because they had like shutters on the windows that like completely blocked out the light.
Was it loud though, or was it quiet?
Some of the people got up and started to pack their bags. They left the door open a crack to let some light in. I saw one of the girls who was still sleeping lying on her side with her back turned to me. From what I could see, she was only wearing her knickers, no top. Her back was facing me. The sheets were completely off. Yeah, I could see her underwear, but her back was completely bare. I guess that just shows how hot it was. Once everyone was awake, I went for a shower. The showers were shit. There were three little cubicles, and that's it. The first one was occupied, so I tried the next. There was no light in there, so I couldn't find the switch. The Eastern European girl, brushing her teeth, smiled at me and said, "No light." When I looked horrified and confused, imagining how I was going to shower in the dark, she laughed and said, "Here is light," pointing to the third shower. I went in there. It was really just a tiny cubicle, no space to put your towel or clothes, and it smelt of rotten, slightly spunky water. This hostel was shit. The worst so far. If Johnny was a hostel, he would be this one.
You keep referring everything to Johnny. On the scale of 1 to Johnny.
After our showers, we both agreed that we won't be staying there for the rest of our stay. Unfortunately, we'd already paid for another night, so we're going to have to repeat the experience tonight. We might upgrade for the last 2 nights. We'll see. We went back to the Colosseum in the morning. There was a massive queue, but luckily the Lonely Planet advised us to walk 2 minutes down the road to another ticket office near some other Roman ruins. We managed to get a ticket for 4 attractions for €15 for the both of us, because we're under 25. I love it. We had a long walk around the ancient ruins, then for some lunch. There was a restaurant outside the Colosseum that had a deal going. A main, a drink and an ice cream for 15 euro. We thought, okay, that sounds okay. I ordered tagliatelle with mushrooms. James ordered tomato gnocchi. We heard the waiter say to each other, make it small, in Italian. When it came, well, yes, it was small and rubbish. Not quite as bad as the pizza place, but close. We ordered our ice cream. We both got pistachio. When it came, I was given a mixture of pistachio, mint, and pavlova, and James was given a mixture of chocolate, coffee, and strawberry. This place totally sucked. We were expecting the price to be really expensive, but amazingly, it was only... I've put a 3 and a 10. Like, I've put a 3 and then put, like, a 1 through it, so I don't know if I mean 30 euro or 10 euro. I'm guessing 30 euro.
Yeah, we'd say £15 each for the meal deal, so maybe...
Oh, yeah, that's true. I say amazingly, but it's only amazing that we didn't get conned even further. We headed off to the Colosseum, walking right past the massive queue. That felt really good. It was all right in there. Pretty much what you'd expect. James saw a cat in the middle, but I didn't.
Did he point the cat out to you? You were like, can't see it.
I guess we both went out separate ways and he's like, oh, did you see that cat? No, I missed it, man. I heard an American say the stupidest thing ever. He was standing with his wife and two daughters, staring at the sign for a couple of minutes. I looked at the sign, which simply said exit, with an arrow pointing toward the exit. However, the American thought that the arrow was pointing at the blank wall and said, it says exit this way, but that can't be right. Stupid fucking American.
That reminds me of my mom now.
Really?
She didn't point to anything and say, well, we were driving, it's the first time we went to America, and we were driving through the toll booth, and we were lost, and we asked at the toll booth, and they said, take the east exit. Obviously, if you're looking on a map, east is right.
Mm-hmm.
The east exit was on the left, the west exit was on the right. She went, but that way's east, and pointed to the right, and went west. Lost like another hour and a half.
People. And directions and just common sense.
Yeah.
Later. Sitting at the Trevo Fountain, having a great time, a little bit drunk, conversing with this German guy who looks like Morrissey. James has gone to look for more wine. Joe Morrissey looks like likes to talk about London. Me too. I tell him about all the sights, what's good, what's not. It's weird. I've had Morrissey stuck in my head all day. Due to us finally figuring out that the Italian police siren is a sample from The Youngest Was the Most Love. So, like, the police sirens have, like, a very distinctive, like, and we're like, that's from a song. What song is that? What song? Like, we spent all holiday thinking, what is it? For some reason, we both thought it was Bjork, and then suddenly Rome, we're like, ah, it's Morrissey. No, Morrissey song. The Youngest Was the Most Loved. Anyway, I should recap on earlier. We searched at the Pantheon, and on the way found the ice cream place that was used in Roman Holiday, starring Audrey Hepburn. The ice cream was good and big. I just got a small one, and it was still really big. James got a large one, and it was massive. I got white chocolate and kiwi flavour. Can't remember what James got, don't care.
You write that?
The Pantheon was okay. Not too Jesus-y, and free. But there wasn't much there. We sat and watched people praying. One woman prayed for quite a while, then she crossed herself, kissed her fingers, then picked her nose. After the Pantheon, we headed back to the hostel to go on the internet for a better hostel for our final two nights. We found one just around the corner from the station, before bed mixed dorm with ensuite. I hope it's good.